Thank you for being here today on such a wonderful weather day that would be much suited to laying in bed with the covers up over you and maybe sitting there with a cup of coffee and enjoying a snug time at home. I'm glad you braved the elements and got out to be with us today. We're very thankful for you. We could not be having these sessions if you weren't here. You make up a very important part of this whole workshop. I wanted to thank the ladies who assembled the bags. I don't know who you are, but thank you for that. It's always nice to just have a little remembrance of being here with you, and that was really sweet. So I'll try to get this really cute Texas spatula out and make a batch of something for Mike. He'll love it. Thank you for that. Our topic today has been assigned, Strength and Honor Are Her Clothing. Okay, if you're like me, when you get up and your alarm goes off and you've, you know, coffee, shower, whatnot, and then you start to, it's the next question, what am I going to wear? And you're standing at the closet, okay, well, should I wear that? Well, I don't know, I don't really feel like wearing that. And it goes down on the, maybe I'll wear this. I like this one. Oh, that's got those short sleeves and the air conditioner and we, and maybe each morning you have this little routine that you do, what am I going to wear? And sometimes it's more of a headache than others, depending on the day and how you feel and which shoes you want to wear and whether that skirt goes with those shoes and things like that. So as women, it's a thing we do, isn't it? It sometimes takes time. Some of us are really good and lay their stuff out the night before, which I have done in my life, but not lately. So I'm now flying by the seat of my pants. And in the morning, it's which one is it going to be? What am I going to wear? In Proverbs chapter 31, in verse 22, we read, well, 31, of course, we read the description of the worthy woman, this ideal woman, and some of her characteristics. And in verse 22, we're told that she makes coverings for herself, so she makes her own clothes, and her clothing is fine linen and purple. I was walking in this morning, I don't see Miss Hafner, but her little girl, Miss Hafner, had these bright purple rain boots, and they were the cutest thing, and I thought, those are adorable, these little purple rain boots. This worthy woman's clothing, we also hear the word purple, don't we? That was something that she liked. And how many of you like the color purple, and maybe you like to wear it too? It's a great color. Okay. I do too. But in verse 25, we jump down about three more verses, and we read how her soul was clothed. Not just what clothes she was putting on her body, but what she was putting on her soul. What to wear. Strength and dignity are her clothing. And maybe the words honor in your translation, strength and honor are her clothing. So different from the clothes that we wear each day, and then we take them back off at the end of the day, the soul clothes are clothes that stay on, and they're going to be enhanced, and they can be layered with other items, and they can be renewed. So soul clothing is really cool, and we're going to talk about that a little bit today. I'm really glad the girls are in here today. Welcome, girls. Let's get in the worthy woman's closet, okay? Even though, let's look past her purple clothes and see what she's got in there for her soul. Let's try them on. You know, the Bible put that in there for a reason. Inspiration praises her choices. Let's look at her choices. Even better than purple, strength and honor. First of all, strength. The Hebrew word strength is oz. They spell it O-Z, but it's pronounced O-Z-E. Excuse me. And it has to do with might or power. Let's see where this power comes from and some of the qualities of this power. We're first going to look in the Old Testament because that's where the word's originally used. I'm sure you guessed that this strength comes from the Lord. Psalm 140 and verse 7 refers to the Lord as the strength of my salvation. We're not even in this room together except for the Lord. He's the one that has saved us, provided our salvation, brought us together. The strength of my salvation, that's God, and we start with Him. I've got about six ladies reading some verses for us today, and when I call your reference, will you stand and read loud? And we're going to have some help today and some interaction in our class. Our next verse, you in the pew can be turning to it, Psalm 68, before the reader reads it. Psalm 68. And we're going to look down about verse, we're going to start in 35. Now, when the reader gets ready to read it, I want you to listen and look in your translation. The word strength is mentioned in all three verses, 33, 34, and 35. See if you can find them, okay? All right, our reader, would you please read Psalm 68, 33 through 35 really loud.
To him who rides on the heavens, which were of old, indeed he sends out his voice, a mighty voice. Ascribe strength to God, his excellence is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O God, you are more awesome than your holy places. The God of Israel is he who gives strength and power to his people. Blessed be God.
Isn't that a great passage? Not only does it describe for us the majesty and power and strength of our God, and it mentions the skies and the heavens, but it says that he gives that strength to us. He gives the strength that we need to us. Right there at the end, the God of Israel gives strength and power to the people. Blessed be God. I'm so thankful for that. If I was relying on my own strength, I would be having a very hard time. We get our strength and our power from God. Catch this from Isaiah 45 and verse 10. Only, that's an important word, in the Lord is righteousness and strength. So this strength is from God. This strength that the worthy woman found in her closet and put on her soul. It's from God. So what qualities does this strength have? What does this strength produce, or what does it coordinate with? You know, when you're getting your outfit ready for the day, maybe you think, well, that shirt looks really good with that skirt, and you're coordinating, right? So let's see, what does the Bible show us in the Old Testament that goes together with strength? What do we read in passages in Scripture where it's strength and something else? Let's look and see. I found three that stood out. What goes along with strength? The first one is safety or peace or fearlessness. Don't we usually crave a feeling of safety? We want to be safe and secure. We want to have peace. We want to not be afraid. Well, that quality is matched up or joined up with the word strength in the Old Testament in many passages. And again, this is because of God. It's not because of me. It's because of God. Psalm 46 and verse 1, very favorite passage of mine, the whole of Psalm 46. God is our refuge. That's a place of safety, right, and security, where I'm not afraid. And what's the next word? Strength. God is our refuge and strength. Those things go together, don't they? How about this one in Psalm 28, verses 7 and 8, where the writer describes strength. God is a strength, there's our word, and shield. What does a shield do? It protects you. It protects you from something, maybe an attack, right? So here we find that strength quality and that safety quality joined together. And then in Proverbs 18 and verse 10, we're told that the name of the Lord, that reminds us it's from God, is a strong, there's our word, tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe. Doesn't that language paint a beautiful picture? Paints a beautiful picture of our God. It's a, where when we run to God, it's like we're running to a strong, there's our word, tower, and that's the place of safety. I love that concept. I'm going to ask our next reader to read Psalm 29 and verse 11 and listen for our two words we're looking for. Strength, that thing that the worthy woman was wearing, and its companion, peace or safety.
The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Isn't that beautiful? And again, it pulls, these are all reflecting from God. We got these from God. God's the one that put those in her closet. She took them out and put them on strength. Okay. Another thing that coordinates really well with strength in the Word of God, other than safety or peace, is the word that means direction or guidance or wisdom. So not only do we or she have the strength from God, but that strength is combined with we know where we're going. We have a direction in life. There are some Bible wise guys who knew this. They knew this truth, that the strength of God often goes with direction or wisdom. One of them is Moses. In Moses' song, Exodus 15 and verse 13, he says, "In your strength," that's God, "you have guided them." That's the direction. Okay? So Moses knew that. Moses knew that God's strength was also not a strength that just leaves you there and says, okay, figure it out. God's strength gives us the fortitude that we need, but it also points us in a direction. Job knew it. Job said, with him, that's God, our strength, there's her soul clothing, and sound wisdom. So Moses knew it. Job knew it. Even David knew it. Psalm 28 and verse 7, he had already described God as a strength and shield, and he went on to say, and I am helped. God's strength points me in the right direction. Isn't that great? What a great quality. So strength goes really well with safety, peacefulness. Strength goes really well with direction in life, and strength goes really well with joy. The Bible is full of descriptions that strength, and the strength we get from God, and the strength we put on our souls every day, or wear every day, brings us joy. I have a reader that's going to read Isaiah 12, verse 2, and also verse 6. Let's hear these words. Who's my Isaiah lady? There you are. Okay, thank you. And if you can go back and read that yourself and jot it down. It's Isaiah 12, verses 2 and verse 6. And he's just encouraging the people of God to praise. Shout aloud, sing, praise, joyful, because God is your strength. You know, when we get together here in the evening sessions, isn't it great to hear the singing that we were talking about that just a minute ago? And it's encouraging when we can sit here and praise our God and have joy in our hearts because partly of the strength that he has put in our souls. I'm so thankful for that. Other verses that speak of strength and joy going together are Psalm 59:17 and Exodus 15 and verse 2. Again, Moses mentioned that. And so we're encouraged, clothe yourself with strength, O Zion, Isaiah 52 and verse 1. How? In God. We get that strength from God. Well, let's look at the word strength in the New Testament for a few minutes. Those were all Old Testament passages. Let's transition over into the New Testament. A very familiar verse, if you were thinking about a verse in the New Testament that mentions strength or being strong, you might think of Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Did you hear there's three different words in that verse that have to do with strength and power? Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And guess what? Those are three actually different Greek words with a slightly different meaning. So it's really interesting that each one of those words brings a little another dimension to the word strength. The first one is the word that means to empower. It's the same word we get our word dynamite from. There's lots of power in dynamite, right? And it means to empower. This is the word that we find in our very familiar verse, Philippians 4:13. See if you can say Philippians 4:13 with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that strengthens, that means empowers. God empowers us and gives us the strength that we need. I love that word picture. Paul especially used this Greek word for strength in his writings to Timothy. I don't think that's a coincidence. We remember what we know about Timothy. He was younger and he was maybe a little timid or possibly felt extra challenged by what he was being called to do. And Paul often wrote to encourage Timothy, didn't he? So he uses this word empower a lot in his writings to Timothy. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 12, Paul tells Timothy, the Lord, that's where it comes from, strengthened me. So he's saying, Timothy, I could do what I did because God empowered me. It's not because I'm better than you and I'm older than you and I'm just naturally stronger than you, Timothy. No, it's God strengthened me, he says. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, he encourages again, be strong, that's empowered, in the grace, and then in Christ Jesus, he ends it with. So that's a really neat word. I like that word. It helps us to frame out and flesh out the word for strength. So if I'm going to be putting on strength today on my soul, this is my little illustration for strength. I'm going to wear strength today on my soul. My soul strength involves being empowered or drawing power from God, not my own self. The second word in the New Testament for the word strength has to do with perfection or completion or dominion or domination. If somebody dominates something, that means they've ruled over it and nothing is out of control, right? They've got complete control over it. Do we ever want to be in control as women? We like to have our lives in control, don't we? Well, this word has an element to it that means in control or being controlled. So let's look together, flip over to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 11. Give you a second to get there. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 11. Okay, and Colossians is a wonderful book, and he is in the middle of talking about Jesus and how great Jesus is and that we want to walk worthy of him to please him in all respects. And then in verse 11, strengthened with, and that's the other word, empowered, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. And that's that word dominion. God has dominion. God has control. And because he is in control, I can feel strengthened and know that his strength is with me. Nothing gets past God's might. And then there's one, that third word in the New Testament for strength is a word that means force or forcefulness. And that's something we do have in and of ourselves. I have a physical strength, right? But it's really talking about spiritually speaking. So for example, in Mark 12 and verse 30, and you're going to help me again here. Mark 12 and verse 30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, all your force, everything that makes you, you, you're going to harness that together and love God with it. So we can love God with all our force. 1 Peter 4 and verse 11 is another verse that I love. It talks about that we're serving. We serve the Lord. And it says we're serving by the strength or the force, get this, which God supplies. Okay? It always pulls us back to God. Our strength, what makes our souls strong, is from God. That's where we get it. That's where Proverbs 31, the woman there, got her soul clothing strength. We're about to read Ephesians 1 and verse 19 to wrap up this thought of strength. And when we're going to put strength on our souls, we're going to get it from God and we're going to wear it on our souls. And this verse, Ephesians 1:19, has all three words in it that describe strength. The one that means to empower, the one that means you're in control or you're dominated, and the one that means force. Whoever my reader is that has Ephesians 1:19, please stand and read it really loud.
And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the work of his mighty power?
Okay, did you hear that? There's three words in there that have to do with strength or power, and it comes from God. The greatness of his power, that's the first one. The strength, and then the word might. So those are all descriptive words. We've really gotten a great idea of the meaning of this word strength and how that looks when we put it on. It comes from God. What a mighty God we serve. Our God is an awesome God. Or as the little ones say, my God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, right? And so we remember that strength is a characteristic of God. God blesses us with strength for our closet too. I'm sure glad about that. With his strength, peace, direction, and joy. We're going to sing a verse. We're not even going to pull out the song books. We're going to sing a verse out of the the songbooks that is straight out of Ephesians chapter 6, and then just join me here and sing it with me. Strong in the Lord of hosts and in his mighty power, who in the strength of Jesus trust, who in the strength of Jesus trust, is more than conqueror. Thank you. Isn't that beautiful? I started to start at the verse 1 and sing Sisters of Christ Arise, but anyway, that verse had the words we wanted in it to remind us of the strength that we get in Jesus. So we're thinking about what to wear. What am I going to wear? And we worry about our physical clothes. And Jesus reminded us in Matthew chapter 6 not to worry so much about what we put on our bodies, didn't he? Matthew 6:25. We can go to God for our soul clothing too. And that is a much more important thing to be concerned about. So the title of our lesson, strength, we looked at that. What's the next word in the title? Honor or dignity, depending on your translation. God has provided what we need to dress our souls. And this is the second word that we're told that the Proverbs 31 woman was wearing, honor or dignity. Matthew 22:11 reminds us that God cares about what our soul is wearing. So again, let's start in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, that word for honor or dignity is the word hadar. And it could be, synonyms for it could be beauty, dignity, glory, splendor, or even the word majesty. Wow. In 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 27, this word is used of God. He's majestic, glorious, splendid, beautiful. So wait, really, is this verse telling us that we as God's children get to wear a little something of God's glory on our souls? Is that really what it is saying? We get to wear like princess clothes from our father, the king? Well, yes, that's exactly what the word means. It's a little bit of glory. Our souls can reflect, I stress that word, the glory of God. And when we say strength and honor, dignity, beauty, glory, splendor, however your translation reads, are her clothing. That is to be a part of what we put on as God's daughters. Now, to keep us humble, I need to also tell you this. In the Old Testament, that same word is used of trees. And, you know, when you see a big, tall tree and all the beautiful green leaves on that tree in spring, that word is used to describe that tree. And it's majestic, we might say. What a glorious, bright green tree. On our drive here, we saw one that was just almost lime green. It was such a bright green. And the Bible uses this same word to describe that splendorous, glorious tree. So that keeps us humble, right? We're going to be dressed the same as that tree. And the Bible also uses, and that verse was Leviticus 23 and verse 4, it also uses the same word to describe the majesty of oxen. So in case you're going to get proud here, we're also using this word to describe the majesty of oxen, and that's in Deuteronomy 33:17. And it's kind of like the word awesome in that sense. You know, when you think of a big, like a longhorn, we saw some longhorns out there, and they're built and they're strong, and you can, you know, have a little respect for that. That's awesome. And that is the same word. So, again, like strength, though, we don't come up with this on our own. We don't get our own glory. God reminds Job of this in Job chapter 40, verse 10 and verse 14. He reminds Job that honor and majesty is inherent in God. God's the one who is majestic, and he is glorious. And if we were majestic and glorious, God says to Job, you can save yourself, which we can't. We don't have that characteristic. I was thinking of a way to kind of describe this, another way to think about it. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 16, the Bible tells us, be holy, for I am holy. Well, can we be holy all by ourselves without God? No, it's impossible. God is the very definition of holiness. He's separate, he's pure, he's beautiful. And we can be holy only because he allows us to. Right? And he made a means for us to be holy. So it's similar to that concept. We can be holy, for God is holy, but not by ourselves. This is by God and because of God. In the same way, we can be Our souls can wear honor, dignity, beauty, splendor, or majesty, or glory even, because God is glorious and He's allowed us to have that. King David was a king. He was an earthly king with a palace and a throne and a crown, presumably. And in Psalm 21 and verse 5, even the earthly King David knew that his majesty ultimately came from God. Let's hear how he describes God sharing some of the glory that he has with humans, with us, with people. Our reader, Psalm chapter 8, verse 1 and verse 5. You got the loud voice, good.
Yeah, I got the loud voice. Okay. Verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Who have you set your glory above the heavens? Verse 5, for you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor.
Thank you. And that is a passage describing God's creation of mankind and then ultimately an application to Jesus when he came as a man. God put us where we are as people, and he crowned us, that's the words in the text, with glory. That's our word, and honor. So as a worthy woman, not only do I wear strength, but I actually wear some in my soul of the glory of God. I hope that that's right. I hope that I really am doing that. So let's go to the New Testament for a few minutes. The closest synonym that I could find in the New Testament to this word is the word glory. And I've been using it. So think of having a glorious soul. When strength and honor or dignity are her clothing, she has a glorious soul. I once read an illustration, and I was a much younger woman, and it really stuck with me. And you may or may not have seen or heard this illustration. But it said, it was something along the lines of, what if there was a mirror that reflected your soul instead of what your body looked like? What would you see in that mirror? So if you went and stood in front, if I came and stood in front of this mirror, well, first of all, one side, maybe that shows my body and how my clothes are and how my hair looks and stuff. And if I flipped it over to see my soul, what would it look like? Would it be scrawny because I haven't filled it in weeks? I haven't fed it? Would it be weak and anxious because I haven't put on the strength that God gives me? Would it be dirty and torn because I haven't let God purify me and glorify me the way He wants to do? What would it be like if we had a mirror that looked at our soul? God planned for our soul to reflect His glory. Romans 9, 23 and 24 tell us this. God made known the riches of His glory upon the vessels of mercy, that's us, which He prepared beforehand for glory, even us whom He called. So God wants our souls to look glorious. Let's look together at 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. And while you're turning there, Paul is talking about the Old Covenant versus the New Covenant. 2 Corinthians 3, we're going to start in verse 18 in a minute. But he's talking about how the New Covenant is more glorious than the Old Testament was, right? And he uses an illustration of Moses. I know you remember the story when Moses went up on the mountain and talked to God, and he was face to face with God, more or less, in the presence of God, receiving the commandments. And he came down from the mountain. What did his face look like? It shone. The Bible says his face shone. It was glorious. He had been in the presence of God, and it reflected off of him, didn't it? On his physical face. How amazing. Our souls can do that. Our souls can do the same thing. So Paul's been just talking about the Old Testament. New Testament's more glorious. He mentions Moses. And then we're going to go down to verse 18. Beholding, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of who? The Lord or God. Okay, and we're going to stop right there for just for a second. We talked about a mirror. Is there a verse or a passage in the Bible that says something else about a mirror in James chapter 1? James chapter 1 and verse 25 says that the mirror is what? What does it describe as a mirror? God's Word. That's right. It says the Word of God is like a mirror. So we actually do have a mirror that we can look at our soul. It's the Word of God, James 1:25. So let's go back to our verse here in verse 18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. That's our word right there. Isn't that great? Now think of another verse. Let's see. Transform. That reminds me of a verse in Romans. Romans 12 and verse 2. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's the mirror idea again. The Word of God. That's what we use to transform ourselves and to reflect the glory of God. Now, Moses, when he came down off that mountain, his face shone for a while, but then he put a veil over his face. Why? What happened after some time went by? Was his face still shining? No, that faded off, didn't it? It faded off of his face. What about our soul glory? Is that going to fade off? I wonder how long it lasts. Let's flip over one chapter to 2 Corinthians 4. And we're going to hear verses 16 through 18. Do you want the microphone?
So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal.
Thank you. So did you hear the word glory in that verse, in that section of verse? It tells us that our soul's glory is something that's not going to fade off like Moses' face glory did. But we're being renewed and transformed, and that's going to last. I love that idea. It lasts forever. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10 and 1 Peter 5 and verse 10 both speak of our eternal glory. That's going to last forever. So even if we could have Moses' face shine and whatever cosmetics or face products we're using, you know, we want our faces to look great. That's not the main emphasis, is it? It's our soul. And what does our soul look like? How are we putting on that glory? And are we able to see that in the mirror when we look? That's how God wants his women, his daughters, to be dressed. Okay, Proverbs 31:25 is our text for today, and it's our title for today. Strength, we talked about that, and honor, dignity, or glory are her clothing. And we're talking about her soul's clothing, remember? So many verses talk about the clothes of our soul, but let's talk for just a minute about the closet. Okay, she had to get those clothes from somewhere. Let's think about that. And I want you to help me think about closets, the closets that we have today in our own lives. Let's think about a baby. When a baby's born and mom sets up the nursery and she gets the bed and, you know, the changing table and whatnot, and she starts to buy those really cute little baby clothes, and they are precious. And if you ever walk through the baby department in wherever, Walmart, Target, wherever you go, you're going to see those adorable clothes. And so mom starts gathering up some things to put in that baby's closet, right? And maybe it's drawers, or maybe some of them can hang up, and she has little socks and bows or whatever it may be. And mom is organizing and filling the baby's closet, right? So in the morning when the baby needs to put clothes on, mom goes out there into the drawer, the closet, and pulls out the outfit, chooses which one, and comes and dresses her baby. So the baby grows a little bit. Maybe the baby's now, it's a little three-year-old. The little three-year-old likes to do things by themselves a little more than the baby did. So maybe mom goes in the room and into the closet and pulls out the three-year-old's outfit and places it on the bed and says, "Can you dress yourself?" Wow, three-year-olds love to do that. They they're, you know, excited. Yes, I can. I can do it, Mom. And they pull on their little pants, and maybe they got them on right, and maybe they're backwards. But they want to dress themselves, right? Toddlers, little children, they're very independent about that. And sometimes they'll accessorize. My little grandson likes to get a necktie and put it around, you know, whatever, the T-shirt he has on. He'll put a tie on or something along those lines. It's very exciting to a child when they've learned that they can dress themselves. Well, now the child's maybe 5 or 6. And this child wants to go choose their own clothes. Not only can they dress themselves, but they want to choose their own clothes, right? And so maybe Mom starts out by putting 2 outfits and says, okay, you can choose one of these 2 outfits and put this on today. And as the child grows a little more, Mom doesn't have to do that anymore. The child can go to the closet and find their own clothes, and they can choose themselves, their clothes now, and they can dress themselves. Well, there's another step that comes along when babies grow up, when girls and boys grow up. Now, the girl wants to put the own clothes in her closet. She wants to go to the store and buy the clothes, or Mom probably pay for them, to go in her closet, but she wants to actually fill the closet herself. Isn't that exciting when girls get to do that? And some of you probably are there or getting close to there. You got birthday money, so you went and took it out and you bought an outfit that you really liked. Isn't it fun when you get to that stage and you can buy your own clothes? So now you're providing your clothes that go in the closet, and then you're choosing those clothes, and then you're putting them on yourself. So this is how we become independent, right? My daughter is 26 years old. She lives 2 blocks away from me. She's married. And every now and then, she'll call me up early in the morning and say, Mom, can I come look in your closet? And she's like, I just can't. So she'll come over and she'll you know, rummage around until she finds a cardigan. I couldn't find my sweater today. Can I borrow yours? And I'll say, sure. And she'll wear it and everything's fine. In fact, this shirt right here used to be hers. She decided she didn't like it for some reason and was cleaning out her closet. And I said, let me look through your bag of stuff. I might have see something in there that I want. So this shirt came from my daughter's closet. So we can, now let's change our gears for a second and think spiritually for just a minute. Spiritually speaking, every one of us has our own closet. When we're young Christians, somebody else may be supplementing and putting all the clothes in there and getting them out and dressing us and telling us what to wear. The older we get, we learn how to dress ourselves. We learn how to choose the clothes out of the closet. And then third and finally, we learn how to put the clothes in our own closet and then wear those clothes, spiritually speaking. Now, I want to tell you that as we're maturing as Christian ladies and girls and women, sometimes we use other ladies' closets. Just like my daughter, sometimes we'll run to somebody else's group of clothes, what they found in Scripture, in God's ultimate closet. This is the ultimate, this is the store. This is where all spiritual clothing is found. This woman went to the store and filled her closet with some things. And if I'm only ever going to her closet, I'm not mature spiritually. I have not grown up yet. I have not learned how to go to the store for myself and select and purchase and put and choose and wear. I've not learned how to do this. I'm still depending on someone else. Wouldn't it be weird if my 26-year-old daughter came over to my house every single morning and wore my clothes that day? Because that's not how it's designed to be when we mature and grow up. We're designed to have our own closet and to fill our own closets. So please, ladies, I want to give you, in the last couple minutes we have, I want to give you some ideas, just really quick, girls especially, on how to get the clothes, the soul clothing, out of God's closet and put it into your own closet. Sorry. Whew. Okay, number one, select a passage. Maybe it's not a very big passage. In fact, I suggest that you don't select more than a paragraph. A lot of times our Bibles are conveniently divided into paragraphs. Select a passage. Make sure you have time and you're in a calm place where you can soak in what this word is saying to you, ask three questions. Number one, what is this passage telling me about God? What does this passage say about God? Don't ever skip that step. That's very important. What does this passage say about God? Number two, what does this passage say about people, which includes me? What does this passage say about people? That includes me. And number three, why is this important? What will I do with this information? Why is this important? What will I do with this information? And the last step after you've answered those three questions is to pray. Don't ever forget to pray. Pull out what God has in this beautiful storehouse for you, for your soul. Explore it, try it on. Pray to Him and ask Him to make that a part of your character. Thank you for sharing time with me today. I wish we had a little more time to end with, but I want to end with one sneak peek. You know, there's a sneak peek a lot of times at the end of a movie of what's going to be next, and they'll show you just a little sneak peek right there of what the next movie is going to be about. Well, we're going to have a little sneak peek of the next thing that our soul gets to wear. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 53 and 54. This perishable must put on imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. That's going to be our soul's clothing for all eternity. Thank you.